Hello and welcome to the Trouble with the Snip podcast. It is Friday, thank God, July 10th, and with me, as always, is Jeremy File. A good news, bad news sort of episode, and we're going to start with the good news. We don't normally cover recruiting, and that's something that, that's something that we've kind of talked about occasionally, of whether or not we're going to get more or less into this. We don't typically talk about recruiting on here, but we feel like Michigan State pulled another big recruit within the last 2 weeks. And look, this is all, I think, kind of, the waves that are coming from the Amone Bates decision.
No question, it's been a great week for Michigan State basketball. I mean, great 2 weeks, to be honest, and I think they were building up for this. And Christie's a huge add. I think he'll be someone that will really fit in well. Just watching him a little bit, I think with his ability to score, his length, and I do think he's has the potential to be a great defender, which I think we say a lot about Michigan State basketball. I mentioned it with Rocket Watts a whole lot. That the biggest thing that got me excited about him when I watched him in high school was the way he could pressure the ball. I think this kid will be able to do the same thing. If Bates does come, I think he has the potential to be a guy who can defend multiple positions. You're just going to have to be able to want to play defense at Michigan State. So I think that the kids they get are always going to have that, the potential to have that, and then they're going to have it when they get there. So the Christie pickup was huge. And very exciting time for Michigan State basketball. There's no question.
Yeah, it was like Bates was the first domino to fall because Christie bumped up his decision, his announcement, a day after Bates was like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to Michigan State. And then recently Christie just put something out where he's trying to contact Jaden Akins, who I think is like who's the last target of this class. And look, there's gonna have to be a little bit of a shuffling done if you want to make room for all these guys. Right now, Michigan State's at a full scholarship limit, and should Bates be showing up, something's gonna have to happen in order to make that type of room, whether it be, a declaration to go pro from Aaron Henry when that takes place. And yeah, there may be a spot or two that's going to end up being swiped away from one of the deeper guys on the bench, unfortunately. But look, Tom Izzo has said a billion times over he feels like he needs that second championship, and that's one of the things that really stop him, I think, from being a top 10 coach in college basketball history. Because you just look at what he's done. He's done more in less time with less resources than guys like John Calipari and Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, I think what people do need to realize, though, the other side of this is you just don't know if the kid will fully come. Michigan just dealt with that, and look at where they are now, where kids had left. You look at a kid like David DeJulius leaving. That's a huge loss for Michigan. That could have been a possibility of him leaving because he felt like, okay, we have Joshua Christopher coming. He can play both guard spots. They're looking at a few other guys. They already have Eli Brooks finishing his senior year. I want to be the man. I'm not getting a lot of attention, and I'm gone. So that's what the potential of that happening at Michigan State is just as high as anywhere else, where kids can change their commitments and then you move some roster spots. I think Michigan State will be smart enough to realize, okay, the commitment's great, and we got a lot of attention behind our program, but we have to treat the players the right way that we have now because we just don't know fully what will happen. And you also got to realize that Imani Bates, as much as it's so cool for the state and how it's just great if you're a Sparty, the potential of him not going there is still very high. I mean, and that's not a knock on this. This is big time for Michigan State. It's outstanding for the Spartans. Brings great attention to the program, a very prestigious program. But the reality of it is, you just don't know if these kids are fully going to come in and be there. So
Yeah,
you
they
have to be smart.
signed the national letter of intent.
Right. And until, you know, that NOI signed, I mean, look, man, you just don't know who's going to be there. I mean, look at Michigan. They were just rolling. I mean, you know, you have Isaiah Todd coming in. You got Hunter Dickinson already. Very good player. And Zeb Jackson coming. And, you know, they have a few other kids that may have, you know, wanted to come. And all of a sudden, Joshua Christopher says, no thanks. And I thought that was sold, right? Everybody thought that was signed, sealed, and delivered. He was going to be Maize and Blue. He goes to Arizona State where his brother is. So stays West Coast. And now you're in a situation where David DeJulius leaves. They lost another player, Cole Bahima. I think I said it right. Maybe it's Bahima, but he was going to be a very good piece for that team. You know, he was only a freshman, didn't get a lot of time last year. He really could have stepped up. And then you lose Livers possibly and Bahima. I mean, it's a problem. So Michigan really had to pick up the pieces. So if you're Michigan State, you have to also realize what you have coming for sure. You have a guy like Matty Sissoko who's a big you needed. He's there. He's there already. Boom, we got him. But my question for you, Tyler, is where is this, you know, Aaron Henry if he comes back? This is something that Michigan State deals with a lot. This could be a situation where I believe Aaron Henry may need to go pro because I think the kids coming in are better than him. Do you agree that that is the case where, you know, if he stays a little too long, then you're in a situation where, you know, he may transfer, he may not stick around? Because I think Christie and Bates are by far better players than him fully. I mean, I just do. Henry's a great athlete, but as far as basketball players, those guys are just better. I guess my question is, yeah, is it smart for Henry to maybe just say, you know what, what's coming in, or let's just finish this last year out and go? I think he's got a big decision to make, I really do.
I think it's a let's finish this year type thing, and then obviously see where it goes from there. Because look, Bates, the only way he's going to be able to play by 2021 is if he reclassifies, and so we don't know if that's going to happen yet. I obviously, all the tea leaves are kind of pointed in that direction, but we don't know what Bates is going to reclassify. And so once he does, then I think it kind of, puts a stamp on Aaron Henry. Like, all right, it's this year or nothing. Like he needs to do this year what people thought he was going to do this past season, and what he started to do during that last stretch of games when when he was really like, okay, you know what? He's got that confidence going. He's got that rhythm going. He may have put too much pressure on himself because, look, every single, promotional thing that Michigan State basketball put out, it was Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, and Aaron Henry. And I just don't think Aaron Henry was ready for it. And I think he was forcing a lot of things. Obviously, like I said, he got better as the season progressed. Let the game come to him. And I mean, he needs to approach it that way. And that's how he's going to need to approach this next season. But he's definitely going to have to improve, or at least put up, or at least have that level of consistency that we saw for that last stretch of games this past season. He needs to have that entire, he needs to have that level of consistency all of next season. If he does that, he'll be fine. He'll be a second round pick in the NBA draft, which is ultimately his goal.
Yeah. No,
And
yeah, I don't think there's anything unless he just
then,
has a breakout year. There's no difference. That's not going to happen for him
and
earlier.
then something like that happens, and Bates doesn't recommit or doesn't reclassify. No, Henry can still hang on for another season after that because Christie's a two guard,
Yeah, I
and you
Christie's
can play
a
Henry at the
tweener.
three.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are tweener. Where I guess my point is
Plus, the
I
wings are
think.
really interchangeable when it is a
Yeah, I
offense.
mean, I think when you look at it, you know, it's like Malik Hall. Everyone says he needs to be a three, right? And Tom loves Malik Hall. So if you're a situation like Aaron Henry, you're not playing well, they'll move Malik Hall to the three or whatever they decide to do with him. I
Well,
think
I
they're
think they're
already.
going anyways this year with the lack of depth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we kind of realize and figuring, we're figuring that Malik Hall is going to be a three moving forward. So, you know, I think that he is definitely undersized for the four. We knew that coming in. We knew the four was a huge position last year. You know, I think Sissoko coming in, he can play both, you know, post positions. I mean, he's just going to be great there. I can't wait to see the progress he makes throughout this whole year. If we have basketball, of course, because we have to always say that. But, you know, that's obviously a part of our next topics. But yeah, Michigan State recruiting has done Michigan State recruiting has done a fantastic job. You know, getting these kids to commit early like this is huge. But yes, in this day and age, things can get tricky, and I guess it's a waiting game still.
Yeah, and another thing people are going to end up having to wait for, kind of touched on our next topic a little bit. The Big Ten, a huge announcement, and it really shook up college athletics as a whole, announcing they are going to be doing a 10-game conference slate, getting rid of the getting rid of all the non-conference games for every team. I think well, I do think Notre Dame losing Wisconsin is just absolutely hilarious, because that this is going to end up setting a really bad precedent as the ACC is looking to do something similar in eliminating all the non-conference games. And look, when the Ivy League kind of just threw in the towel and said, "Oh, we're not doing anything till January 1st. Screw it." That I don't want to say that that was the first domino, like you hear a lot of these other sports talk shows saying, because the Ivy League's revenue is not driven by athletics.
Right. No, the big thing, yes, number one, obviously that's a true statement. Number two, I'm just going to make my statement on this now. I just don't think it's going to work this year. I think we're in hot water. It's July already. You know, we're about to be into August here soon in a couple of weeks. You know, we are so close to college football, Tyler, and NFL football. It's ridiculous. I think college sports, I don't see it happening until next year. I think what happens is, you know, a couple of people have mentioned liability stuff, of course. And I want to make a statement about Ohio State on this, because that was the first thing what they did is they made people sign waivers. I actually don't disagree with that. I think you have a choice to make as an adult. You're 18 or above. Your choice is, look, I'm going to sign this waiver. I'm putting myself at risk. I understand what it means. I understand where we're at, and I'm going to take on that risk. You almost have to do that. The sad part about it is it almost tells everybody, yeah, this is going to be risky for you, and the possibility of you getting COVID-19, catching the coronavirus is high. So I don't think they can take the scrutiny. I don't think they can take the situation where if multiple players get it. I think football is even more at risk than basketball, believe it or not, because there's just more people. I mean, let's just be honest. It's that simple to think of that way. I'm not going to get into a political stance on COVID-19. That's not what we do on this show. All I know is the facts are facts. There's more football players, and however this thing, how true everything is, or how this disease spreads, I'm not a doctor. All I know is the common theme is the more people, the worse. There's more people in football. And I just think when you get 5, 10, 15 people testing positive, you have yourself a nightmare. And it's basically really scary for college sports. I think with pro sports, it's a little different. I think when you have people getting paid and, you know, that they're honoring their contract, and look, I understand it. If I get it, I feel like I'll be treated. I'm good to go. You know, the league is spending money on testing per day. They're going to do the same thing in college. College has just as much money or more than pro in times. I just don't think you can put the athlete at risk. And I can't imagine us having a college football season right now. I just can't. I made this statement about the conference thing. It's the last thing I want to say. I made a statement on the conference games only about 3 months ago. I thought that was the only way to do this, to manage the travel, right? And keeping each other in bubbles, you're practicing around the same people. You know, you travel together. It just doesn't make sense still. You're still around a ton of people, and you're still going to go somewhere and see new people, and you don't know where they've been. I mean, I can't imagine it happening, Tyler. It's sad, and it's my opinion, and I just really think we're not going to have college football this year. I really believe that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is this can also be kind of viewed as a first I already used this analogy, but this is kind of like the first domino, to where, all right, this is what we're going to do now. This is what we can do to try to minimize the situation, to try to minimize the risk. But at the same time, you heard Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State, come out, and he was talking about how, like, let's just say there's a lot of, there was a very pessimistic feel to his tone, to his verbiage, and just how he kind of worded everything that made it seem like, you know what, this is what we're doing for now, but you know, if things don't straighten up, then we're probably not going to end up having one. That's what he made it sound like. And what this ultimately does is, one of the first things you said is that we're so close to the season, and that's true. But what this is doing, what this does, is this buys us another month. This buys us another month. And when you schedule everything in conference, you're able to sit there and you can screw around with the schedules however you freaking please. You know, you can say, you know what, Michigan State, Northwestern, you were supposed to play, what is it, September 7th or 6th? This is your first game. You know what? We're just gonna bump this to the start of October, and then we're gonna roll through our conference season.
We mentioned that earlier. Remember, I said that. I said besides those first games that were conference games, you basically just move everything up to when everyone else would play their first conference game, which is the last week of September or first week of October. And I think I was mentioned it to you, didn't we talk about that? We had mentioned it months ago that that's the only thing that I thought was going to work. You know, you can't travel all over across the country right now. It's just not going to work right now. It's just not. They're already doing the bubble thing in pro sports, and they already think that may not be the way to go. I mean, there's just so much to question. The thing I have a huge problem with all of this is somebody eventually needs to make a statement that's going to be a leadership statement and powerful and says, we have to move forward this way. And what
White
happens,
Island, baby.
you know, Tyler, what happens is when you keep going back and forth and you start making all these decisions and, nope, we're going to teeter back and, nope, now we're going to pause and, nope, we're going to, you know, stop involuntary workouts. It's just too much turmoil. It's too much questioning and it's too much wondering, is this really what we're doing? Is this the right thing to do? Someone needs to say, this is what we're going to do. You're going to sign a waiver to play. You're putting yourself at risk. We understand that. You'll be treated. But here's the thing, Tyler, and nobody's mentioned it enough, and it's really scary to say it this way, but I'm going to just say it. What if one of those players that we love from one of our teams passes away from this? Changes everything. I mean, it just does. And you know, I remember when Patrick Ewing got it, my heart just stopped for a minute. I was like, couldn't imagine losing Patrick Ewing to this disease, this virus. And
Well, let me just say this first, because I've seen a couple of things already. Me and Jeremy, we have not been personally affected by this. We don't know anybody who's really suffered through this. I know there was somebody from our high school who had it. He's fine now. Graduated in my class, but we the that and so I just want to clarify and like make it seem like, oh, just because it's an athlete, it's more valuable. No, that's not the case. It's just we've not been personally affected by this, so this is the closest we would be to be personally affected by this as it stands right now.
As a fan, yeah, we're speaking as a fan. This is as a fan. Imagine, you know, this is sports, right? You know, and you have fans, you have coaches. We're watching these athletes, and yes, they're not any more important than anyone else. It's just when we talk about it that way, what would that do to the whole situation? Here's the next part of it, though, Tyler. Here's the thing that, just like anything in life, there's two sides to everything. Things happen. Players, you know, lives are lost. We just lost a player from Toledo who was shot and killed the other day. Things happen all the time, right? So eventually, I've heard this a lot, we have to move forward eventually. And that is true too. So you know, Lou Holtz, my gosh, he was spitting and sputtering all about it, how he thought that, you know, people have risked their lives for a lot of things, and this would be a risk. You go out there and play football, you know, but you've got to have a plan. And I think the Big Ten did the right thing with the conference only, Tyler, but the problem is you can't keep going backwards. You know, if this is the plan, we feel like our players will be safe. We feel like we have enough facts and enough science, all that. We know we're prepared for testing. We know how to treat it. Let's just go. Someone's going to have to say that, Tyler. This is never going to work. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, things have definitely been all over the place. And you hear medical professionals saying they don't use this phrase, but that it's not as bad as what it's being made out to be. They don't use that phrase, but that's something that it kind of like flows with it. And then you hear the other medical professionals, this is very serious, everything needs to be shut down still, and this and that. But at some point, we're going to need to move forward. And it is going to take a stand to do it. And unfortunately, you know, when I brought up Dana White really briefly and his Fight Island and what the UFC is doing, that's something completely different because it is a bubble type scenario.
Yeah.
And it's no different than what the NBA would be doing in Orlando. I mean, obviously a lot less people, but it's the same concept. Yeah. It's the exact same concept. And eventually someone's going to need to be what the NBA was to the start of this.
Yeah.
Someone's going to need to end it and just be like, you know what? This is it. I'm not saying now is the exact time to do this, but look, there's been some information that has just come out recently that I feel may have been able to force its hand in expediting the situation. When the World Health Organization came out and said, you know what, asymptomatic carriers probably can't transfer this. And I think that that's something that, I mean, I feel like that's something to kind of like expedite moving forward. Obviously, there's still precautions that need to be taken. And there's, I mean, everybody has to be careful now and needs to, I mean, you pretty much need to be thinking all the time about this, unfortunately.
No, you have to think about it all the time. And the scary part about it, Tyler, is it's just not going away. We're going to have this conversation all the time about the virus and what do we do when people are tested positive. And it's just so much to think about.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of turn this a little bit to sports here right now.
Yeah.
Like, more about sports, obviously, not just sports starting up. But I'm going to say this. You have to have a college football season. When? I don't know. How many games? You know, like I said, I think the Big Ten's kind of doing it right. You need to have a college football season because this affects the livelihoods of thousands of athletes. Millions of athletes, sorry, because college football pays for everything else in the college landscape. It pays for everything else with the exception of men's basketball. It helps push the proceeds towards women's basketball, swimming and diving, all those other sports on, you know, ESPN 8, the Ocho. Like, it pushes the revenue for volleyball and soccer and everything else. And all of these kids all have a dream, especially if you go to a major university, sneaking in the last round of whatever sports draft, sneaking in as the last couple picks, or, you know, using this season to kind of propel yourself. Jacob Ponashuk is a perfect example of that, and he's the first one I thought of. Antoine Simmons is another one. Guys who have sat there and have been overshadowed their entire careers by, frankly, just players with better talent around them. You know, Ponashuk with his brother, Raekwon Williams, Kenny Willekes. But he's coming back as the highest-rated pass rusher in the Big Ten this season. I'm sure, you know, certain people will pass him at Ohio State that just, you know, breeds defensive ends. But this was supposed to be a year for him to solidify him his future in the NFL. You know, he's not a Trevor Lawrence guy where if there's no season, he's still going to be the number one pick.
Yeah. Well,
This is something, this affects that. This affects all the volleyball players that won't have a season, that won't be able to get to do anything. This affects all the soccer players who are looking to end up, you know, at, you know, God, you know, I can't think of a friggin' Major League Soccer team right now, but this affects all those guys who are trying to get into the MLS. This
Yeah.
affects all the girls trying to play professional soccer. This affects everybody if there is no football season. College football has to be the one to stand up and say, what the NBA started, we're finishing.
I don't disagree at all. But there's got to be a plan, and you know that. I mean, what you're saying is we have to have it. You're right. This is what people aren't saying enough either, and I know it, and you know it because we love sports, and we'd lay our life on the line for it. I mean, if I was an athlete right now, and there was a waiver slapped in front of me, I probably wouldn't even look at it. Boom, here's my name. Let's do this. I mean, when you love something and it's your passion, you don't want it to be stripped from you. That's the freedoms that you have in this country. And people are going to have to make some tough decisions. And guess who it's going to have to be? It's going to have to be the NCAA. And they may look bad, but in the end, I think what it does is it moves us forward. And the NCAA can make a huge statement like saying, we're doing waivers because these are frontline essential workers in a way. And we may have to change a few things to compensate these people. We may have to change a few things for our athletes in the future. This could be the first step of fully compensating. Like now we're gonna speed track this paying for their likeness thing, right? So I think that's where we are, Tom. College football could be the first step, and here we go. We know COVID's real, we get it, but our players that want to do it still, and they want to be front line, they want to entertain all of you, and you can watch it on television. They're going to sign this waiver, and boy, you may want to think about them, and you may want to start really locking in and paying, hey, it's still a business, right? Paying for these cable television networks. Let's watch these guys play. And we're going to have to do something to take care of these guys putting themselves at a risk. That's the problem, though. That's the major problem, Tyler, because all that the pro people keep talking about that are in mainstream media that used to be NFL players, they all say the same thing, don't they? Well, I don't think it's right for college kids to have to put themselves at risk. Well, when you're 18 years old, you sign up for the military, you sign up for certain things. You put yourself at risk. So I believe that these guys should play, but they have to sign a waiver. They have to.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm sure that's going on everywhere, you know, just not publicized as much in certain areas. But you also have to, like you said, the NCAA is the first one that has to do it because high schools are also going to be impacted by this, and it's a situation where, you know, high school seniors are going to lose time. You know, there's been talk about moving college or high school football into the spring, and it's like, so a senior won't have an opportunity. You know, if he is a Poniatowski, like the equivalent of a Poniatowski or Simmons at the high school level, where this is his year to break out, this is the year he was going to get a scholarship offer. If he's a guy like that and he's going to the spring, coaches aren't looking at him because they're too busy worried about their spring and summer workouts for the team that they're going to have in the fall already. Like the entire thing, unfortunately, is just ruining the lives of these people. And look, like I said, me and Jeremy get it. Precautions need to be taken, but at some point, someone needs to stand up, and I think it's the NCAA because the NCAA has that type of money and that type of power to influence high schools, to influence professional sports. And they're the ones with the ability to get this country kickstarted again, because without sports, everyone's diving into all this other crap. And sports is always that one thing that really united us, even though Jeremy's a Michigan fan and I hate his guts for like 4 or 5 days a year. Sports was the one thing that kind of brought us together.
Oh, there's no question, Tyler. Those are such great statements you made. And here's the thing that it does. And you know, if I was, let's do this. If I was the president of the NCAA, let's play a little game here. The first thing I would say is,
You'd be a money hungry dick like Mark Emmert.
no, I would actually be much better than Mark. Let me say it first. I'd be much better, Mark. I think the players should have been, you know, certain things should have been changed compensation wise long, long time ago. I'm going to make another big statement today. This is could be the beginning of college sports really changing, and college sports being separate from academics. And I know that's tough for people to hear, but let me finish this. I think when young men and women make that choice to play Power Five again, Power Five conference basketball, you know, only for women, obviously, basketball, volleyball, maybe if there's a revenue there. Football for sure is a revenue maker. You will have the opportunity because of such good revenue that you can make money as an athlete playing for that school. What I think that the NCAA needs to do, and it will take so long because there's so many things they got to do, but they can start making the talk, is we're not going to give athletes scholarships. We're going to pay them. And then they can pay for their school with what we pay them. And there's going to be tiers of it. I've never said this is the first time I'm saying it. I thought about it all day, Tyler. I couldn't wait to share this to you today. I think there's tiers, and you treat it like, hey, if you're a top recruit, you're going to make this amount. And people would argue, well, that's going to take away the team aspect of it. Well, that's pro sports. James Harden makes a heck of a lot more than the 12th guy on the bench. It's just, that's life. That's sports. Every single player in some of these schools that is on that team should make enough money to pay for their school. So you have X amount, well, here's the tuition, or here's a percentage of the tuition that can be paid. We're going to pay this guy this. And then now you're teaching money management. Okay, you have money. You're getting paid, you know, a certain amount each month from the universities, and that's how it should be. I know it's tricky. I know it's complicated, but it should
Yeah, and
happen.
yeah, like one of the first things I thought of when you said that, what about a guy like Jack Conklin, who, you know, they weren't really, or Kenny Willekes, guys who have walked on, they weren't really planning on being a starter, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, dang, you're the best player on this team.
The fact that the guys are walk-on still is laughable. I was a walk-on, and it's a joke. Person that plays Division I sports should be a walk-on. I mean, they should be able to get their school paid for. The amount of money that these schools make, and look, I don't even care if Michigan State makes more than Western Michigan. Michigan State deserves to pay more. That's just how life works. You know, and that's where I am a little conservative in values. I think if you've earned something, you deserve to get to do what you want with it. And the NCAA, as much as they're greedy and their power, you know, they're powerful as ever, they've earned an income. People watch their brand. People love their brand. We watch those games all the time, our whole life we have. There's an income there. Now you got to stop being greedy with it. And now you got to figure out a plan to use it correctly. This whole likeness thing, Tyler, I think it's going to be a nightmare. I think that it's going to be worse. There's no structure to it. I think it's going to separate players more than the plan I'm coming up with. I think you should have a tier and say, here's the tiers of what we could pay certain guys. Here's the max. And I think it would also, you know, allow players to maybe stay in college. Like, oh my gosh, I'm actually at a certain tier level where why don't I stay here 3, 4 years? I'm getting paid.
Money.
Well, here's the next part of it. I love these guys that say, you know, well, it's about education. Well, it's about education more now with my pay because now you're getting paid at a certain tier and you get to pay for your college. And if you flunk out, guess what? You're gone. See you later. Now you can go pro. But if you want to make this little bit of money in this tier and you want to get your school paid for, or if you want more than getting here you go. You could stay. Here's an example. I think the tuition in Michigan State is what? It's probably ungodly now. What, 30,000? You know, I think there's an X amount of money that the athletic department should put for
When I was at
players.
Michigan State, I didn't pay for anything. I was all scholarships, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's tricky, but the amount of money is insane. And honestly, I'm gonna tell you what really needs to happen with all this. It needs to be individualized. I mean, it already is individualized enough. Michigan has more than some schools. Some schools have more than Michigan, and that's the world we live in. This whole everybody's equal and everybody should be on the same scholarship. No, if certain people are better or they go to certain schools, they should probably get more. And that's tough to hear for some people, but it's the truth. And if Michigan
Look,
is.
When I was watching Michigan State football, and no disrespect to the kid, I think he's an absolutely great kid. I think he served his role. I think he stepped up when Michigan State had injuries. I wasn't going to those games to watch Brandon Sowards. I was going to those games to watch Connor Cook.
I think there's far too many kids on a football team. I mean, I think it's absolutely ridiculous how many players they have that are a part of the team. I think they need to cut that down. They have a travel roster, obviously, but I think that it's far too much. I know injuries happen, but I don't think you need to have 100-some players on a football team.
Have you seen Michigan State's offensive line get hurt the last 2 years? Yeah, you need
100 guys. Yes, Michigan State needs 25 linemen, but that's how you recruit better. We got to get a lot of linemen. For some reason, we're getting hurt at that position a lot here. But I just think, look, I know we're kind of going all over the place, but the two big statements I wanted to make today was, number one, I just can't imagine us having a football season in college, but gosh, I sure hope we have one. Somebody needs to make a major statement. Number two, I think this could be the beginning of something really new for the NCAA if they weren't so greedy. But I think that they've had a system that's worked for so many years. They're just trying to keep it that way and change a couple small things. I think they need to completely change the landscape. And I just think that academics and athletics at the highest level in college sports is just so separate, Tyler. You know it. We all know it. It just doesn't matter as much to kids to go to school. I mean, they're there to be
athletes. No, Deontay Davis did not attend classes after the basketball season.
I mean, look.
And something tells me, let's say Amone Bates is a one-and-done type guy, even if he has to stay 2 years because he's not old enough to go into the NBA draft after his freshman season, as soon as he is halfway through his sophomore season and that basketball season ends, I can guarantee you he's not going to classes either.
Just think about all the revenue that sports brings in, Tyler. We know this. I mean, think how many times did we attend a restaurant with a bunch of people to watch sports and how much money we've spent in our lives, to watch these games? It's ridiculous. It's an absolutely ridiculous amount of money we've spent on sports. And it's very important to our economy. It's very important to our economy.
And that's why sports ultimately needs to get started up again, and it needs to be sooner rather than later. And though everybody's taking a risk, you said that they are signing waivers.
Though.
It is their individual choices, and in regards to actually paying the players and stuff like that, that was part of the conversation with Joe Tate, but. He and I ultimately said the same things, that the NCAA does need to get involved in regards to that. But, this has become, and what people haven't noticed it yet, it's sports are an essential business. And it's something that, a lot of people may laugh at when I say something like that. The only reason you're laughing at me right now is because it's baseball season. Nobody gives a crap.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason. The second football starts to fold. We already lost the NCAA tournament. We were like, I kind of want it. I kind of don't. I kind of get it. Whatever. The second football starts going.
Yeah.
And then basketball comes into question again. Then people are going to lose their freaking minds.
Sports are an
essential business, and college sports are an essential business. It keeps there's just so much revenue from college football, just the advertisements and the season tickets and the $7 hot dogs and just what
people
it does for the
realize.
Surrounding communities.
Yeah.
Like, look, sports are an essential business, and they need to start being treated as such, and they need to start being treated with – they start need to start being treated as such before it is too late and the entire country loses their minds, and that's going to happen if we have any more issues with football. I mean, no one gives a crap about, Princeton and Harvard football. But the second Michigan and Alabama and Michigan State and LSU and Texas and Oklahoma, West Virginia, the second all those schools start, like, waving off the season one by one, you're going to see outrage. You're going to see outrage from the kids that were planning on going to the NFL, trying to improve their draft stock, or just, like I said, with Ponashuk and Simmons, they're trying to get drafted because these guys are not on anybody's radar yet, and this was going to be their year. They had that opportunity this year. Sports needs to be treated as an essential business because it is an essential business. It drives the economy. It drives the economy in Detroit when the Lions go get blown out, but they still sell out every freaking seat in the house. It drives the economy in New York when the Yankees suck. They're still selling it out.
Yeah.
Sports are an essential business. It saves the economy. And I'm not one of those people who says, oh, the economy's worth more than somebody else's life. No, it's not. That's bullcrap. But having a good economy saves other people's lives. It saves a guy like Jacob Ponashuk, who can maybe do a little bit more when he does get into the NFL. Antoine Simmons, the same type of way. And Antoine Simmons, a great public speaker, just a fantastic, inspirational type character. Just going to be a stud captain this year if there's a season. And to see what he would be able to do with a little bit more money, he may go out and he may change somebody's life. It affects everybody's lives. Sports affects everybody's lives, whether they know it or not. And it's something that really needs to be taken into consideration as we're nearing closer and closer to either the season or eliminating college sports altogether. Or eliminating college football season altogether.
You're going to see a major problem, Tyler, if we don't have this season. You made such good statements there, and I want to, I know we don't have much time. I want to end with this. This is going to be catastrophic if we do not have a college football season. This is a very important sport to our economy. It's a very important sport for our communities. And it's really an important situation for what Tyler said, the future of young collegiate athletes who really put all their heart into this. It just drives so many different things. I mean, we could go on for an hour more about what it drives. I mean, here's an example. LeBron James is very big in Ohio. He's, when he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers, someone had mentioned downtown that he completely transforms our economy because everybody's downtown watching the Cavalier games. That is an example. Someone in the food industry is saying, my restaurant is doing much better when LeBron James wears number 23 with the maroon and gold. That is everything you need to know. And when Jacob Ponichuk or whoever it may be is wearing the green and white, there's certain things that are really taking place in these communities, and these revenues come in because people want to watch him play. They want to watch these football players play. And that's something that boosts people's economy. Let me just say this. Buffalo Wild Wings isn't very cool without sports. we can watch old games for another year if we want to, but it's just not really working. People aren't going to be gathering at Buffalo Wild Wings to watch Jordan play the Jazz. I mean, maybe. It's a weird world we live in now, but let's just be honest. And, I went to a restaurant the other day, Tyler. It was hilarious. And the guy goes, man, this is just so weird. There's no games going on right now. I'll never forget that statement. He goes, it's just so weird not to watch Tiger baseball right now live. People gathered at his restaurant all the time to watch those guys play.
And yeah, one thing, think of, kind of localizing it or some like Harrison Roadhouse up in East Lansing. I know you're familiar with it. Feel like you and I have been there a couple of times. But Harrison Roadhouse up in East Lansing, a couple blocks away from Spartan Stadium in the Breslin Center, and look, that place gets packed on game nights. It gets packed on game days. And, it's not just these big businesses like a B-Dubs. It's these local businesses that all get hurt when there's no sports. And like
That's
we said,
point,
we're not prioritizing. We're not prioritizing money over people's lives. We're prioritizing people's livelihoods.
Right.
Period. That there's no over people's lives. There's no anything else after that. We're prioritizing people's livelihoods. And I think that that's something that often gets misconstrued, but with, again, sports is what brings everybody together. It is what, people love the fact that LeBron won his first championship. It brought everybody together. By the third one, I was kind of getting pissed off at him, but that's something that, again, sports brings people together. It boosts the economy. It changes the lives of people who, we've been talking about him. I'll use him again. Jacob Pontichu, 22, 23 years old. He's probably spent 15, 16, 17 years just working for that moment to hear his name called during the NFL draft. And he may not get that opportunity if there's not a season. And when we talk about it, Jacob Pontichuk was just the first person that comes to mind. There's hundreds of other kids across all sports, across all platforms, mid-major, major sports, non-revenue, revenue sports, whatever it is. All those people are being affected by it. This, and they would all of them, because they're not like Kyrie Irving, don't have millions of dollars lined up from shoe deals. All of them would sign that freaking waiver in a hurry.
Yeah, I would sign that in a heartbeat. If you know, and in this day and age, I would put my life on the line for it. There's not a question. It's what I want to do. And it's the same thing as the people that say, hey, I've started a business and it's shut down, and this is my livelihood. Like Tyler said, he used a great word, word there, great statement, livelihood. And my livelihood is sports. So is Tyler. So, that's our passion. That's what we do. And you know what? We are involved with the athletes. We talk to these athletes. We want their lives to be better. It has nothing to do with our personal gain. We just want them to have the opportunity. So I hope it happens, Tyler, but I'm really worried. I'm praying that we have a college football season. I really think there needs to be some leadership, though. It needs to be a powerful statement, very powerful statement to move us forward, because, we have a lot out right now. There's just no question about that.
Yep, and college football is going to get the first opportunity to make that statement. And if there has to be less fans in the crowd, then so freaking be it. And that's something that we were supposed to talk. That was something we were supposed to talk about today. It's obvious.
You want to push back a couple to minutes? Time. You want to talk? You got 2 minutes?
No, we don't. We are out of time. we're gonna have to throw this on next time. But it gives everybody else something to look forward to. Always leave them wanting more, right, Jeremy?
Loudspeakers in a stadium. Loudspeakers.
College football has the first opportunity to make a statement, and we'll ultimately see if they do that. Whether there's less people in the crowd or none, we'll see what happens. That does it for us on the Trouble with the Snap podcast. For Jeremy File, I am Tyler Hayward, and if college basketball were the first one to make that statement, Cassius Winston would have a national championship ring.
Boom.